Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. We are back with our first new episode of 2026. Today on the podcast, Ted and I reflect on our recent missions conference. We consider a scripture from Ephesians and the importance of cultivating a mission of presence. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 28 of the Zach Pod. Welcome back to the podcast, Ted.
Hey, we're happy to be back.
Yeah.
It's been too long, but it's okay.
Lots have happened since.
Lots have happened.
What all has happened? We had Christmas break. We had cold weather.
Yeah, Christmas happened all last year.
Anything new for you?
Coldness. Trying to stay warm. Anything new? Oh, man. Just your mind races. You know, we've had, Christmas was a wonderful time. New Year was a good time, you know. With all the church activities, it's been a good time. We're so grateful to the Lord for his blessings, our church family, with new folks attending. And
yeah,
so
we had how many, 20-something new members?
21 new members.
In 2025, that's pretty good.
2025, that's pretty good. That's great.
Nice people are joining us.
Yes, nice people. Wonderful folks. So if they're listening to this, you are wonderful. We welcome more. Come.
How is Sue doing in her new retired state?
Yeah, so my bride, you know, she retired. I think she's enjoying it immensely, and it's been good. She's been working on cultivating new recipes.
Ooh.
Yeah, cooking different things.
What's a new thing you've tried recently?
She got this book. Let's see. It was, I can't remember the title of it. It was by one of the Iron Chefs. Michael Simons.
Uh-huh.
So she's been doing some recipes there. One that was really good was making crepes without flour. I mean, you just use eggs and bananas,
mm-hmm.
and you just whip them up really, 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 really good. And then you can, you know, make crepes out of that. So she does that, and she adds her secret ingredient, which is so now the secret's out. But she adds in that, and then strawberries, of course, and if you're like me, you got to have whipped cream with it.
Wow.
And that's just a great breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a sweet breakfast.
It's a sweet breakfast. Yeah, that's good. Or any kind of fruit will go well with it. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's been an adventure. That's been good. And so we've been enjoying that. And we started a new series with the church going through Ephesians, which I'm real grateful for because I think it's an important message for believers to recognize who they are in Christ. And we need to remember that. We have a tendency to forget a lot. So that's been a good thing. And then we've been trying to work on music, you know, and write some songs. So we wrote a couple of songs and recorded one and just threw it up on Bandcamp even last week. So
what was that called?
Oh, you would ask me that. See, I forget.
Once it's up on Bandcamp, it's out of my mind.
It's out of my mind. No, that would be a good song title, wouldn't it? Be out of mind. Yeah, just send us your song titles and suggestions. That was good. It was called Faith Was Born.
Mm.
And so the story goes about, you know, when you encounter Jesus, and it's just life-changing. And from snapshots, from biblical characters, Peter, when he was told to cast the net on the other side of the boat, and he got that big load of fish, how did he respond to that? That would have been a life-changing event. Or the woman caught in adultery, you know, how did that, when she met Jesus, was dragged before him, and he said, go and sin no more. How does that change her life?
Mm.
And so just a beautiful picture that the Lord, when we encounter Christ at that crossroads, he wants to change your life for the better. And he does that for all of us. And he's so faithful. His mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. So that's just some of the little things that we've been doing. And enjoying that. We just came through missions conference.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to have Ross and Ashley on the podcast later this month, so that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Here's some behind the scenes from them and go a little deeper with
and
their
they represent,
work.
Yeah, they represent the country France, you know, and I always think of the Pink Panther, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, but the Lord was good, gave us a good time of fellowship with them and get a sense of their heart for the folks in France, and especially their heart for the Lord Jesus, to to serve them.
Yeah, it was good to see people come out for the missions conference events. You know, we had a potluck and we had a dessert and we had some other things, and the events were pretty well attended from our congregation. It was good to see people come out and not only get to know Ross and Ashley, but just get a sense of what God's doing through the Alliance, you know, overseas. I think that's special. It's an important part of what our denomination does. And so it was good to see people getting excited about that.
Is there anything, Christian, that as you listened to them and you've been on the field and so forth that resonated with you, but was there anything that stirred you a little bit about what they shared or just encouraged you or you said, yeah, aha?
Sure. Well, yeah, as a fellow international worker, there's always things that remind you of other things and all of that.
Yeah.
What I really appreciated, I think, was the things they drew out of the culture in France that were positive, you know, because it's easy to think of missionaries in IWs as suffering, you know, they left this and they left that and they have to go suffer for Jesus. And
yeah.
I think that's how a lot of us paint that picture. And that's just so the opposite of what the experience of being on the field is. Every person will tell you that it's an incredible blessing to get to be on the field and get to serve the Lord full time. In a context that's different from your own. I'm not saying that it's not hard, but what I'm saying is it's way better than not doing it. You know what I mean? It's a huge, huge blessing. And so I always look out for that. And you'll notice people who talk about missionaries talk about suffering, and people who are missionaries talk about the blessing. And I think that's very telling. So they'll let you know, like, so Ross and Ashley let us know the things about it that are hard, you know, when we ask.
Yeah.
But they're also talking about, man, how much they love this and that about the culture. You know, I think of one thing that stood out to me was how they talked about every neighborhood has like a club fair, like college.
Oh, yeah,
like
a
college
club
fair, because
college club fair.
People want relational connection.
Yeah.
And it's just the culture of Paris that they will, you know, seek out people with the same interests. And I think that's really cool. You know, I can barely meet the people who live next to me in my house, in my, you know, townhouse.
I know.
So I just think that's a really interesting facet of culture that I didn't know. And that would be like, it is really valuable, you know? So learning that kind of stuff, learning about the depth of their friendships that they have. What does the ministry of presence look like in our lives, or what can it look like? What's like what's a vision for what it can look like? You know, there's a lot of, I've been listening to lately about the epidemic of loneliness, you know, some people say, well, it's caused by social media and other things, but we've really designed our neighborhoods and our lives to be these private spaces, these temples to private space, you know, my house and my boundaries.
Yeah.
Right. I have these little, this little castle that's mine and I go to it and maybe my family's there, but oh, well, if I'm going to have people over, I got to clean. If I'm going to have people over, I got to cook. And I got to, and it's, there's so many barriers to hosting a gathering, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't want to let people into my space.
Yeah.
And so it's not just social media that's caused it. There's been, I think, a very intentional project that we've built of like trying to make our own space. And there's plenty of good things about that. But one of the negative consequences is a real lack of community, you know? Mm-hmm. And church can be a community, but that's an hour or two a Sunday most people.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, most, it's probably not enough for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some people are more social than others. So I don't want to say like, well, we all have to have 1,000 friends. That's not what it is. But it is countercultural in America to surround yourself with people and to be communal. That word communal. That's almost antithetical to that sounds like communism.
Yeah, communal to versus
communal sounds like communism. It also sounds like the early church, whereas what we do is individualism. And and again, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying it has some negative consequences.
Sure.
Which are, who is available to be in my space
right
and soak up the presence of God if I've designed my life where I don't have to be around people?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, when we, yeah, I think those are great questions. I think we do need to, you know, maybe engage that. You know, how can we develop the community and ministry of presence in and through us? I think, for me, you know, just hearing that, in one sense, it excites me because it relieves this pressure that there is only one way to do evangelism or one way to share Jesus, or you have to say this in order that you, you know, extremely share Christ. I think we need to share Christ verbally as well as in relationships, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, you know, in that, and just watch Him work in us and through us and be faithful in that process. But developing that relationship to earn the right is so important. And
that takes work, you know, it takes
that
work.
That takes work, takes time.
Make an invitation and to build relationship, to cultivate connection.
Yeah. And you're not doing that primarily as a motive to say, oh, I built relationships with this many people and this many people accepted Jesus. You're just doing it because you love people because God loves you.
Yeah, that motivation is important, right?
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people sitting in church who understand that God loves them, but that doesn't necessarily translate to, well, I want to be around a lot of people.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, people drive me crazy.
Yeah.
You know, people do stupid things. People say stupid things.
Yeah, but what you were just saying is that, like, the reason, the motivation, the motivation to make friends and to cultivate relationship should be the love of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
We should want to love on people. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we want to have people in our lives that we can love?
Yeah. And I think, and recognize as a follower of the Lord, and I think this comes with walking with Jesus, that everybody who is around you, there are some who I have called before pre-believers. They haven't accepted Christ yet, but you have a relationship with them, and that's wonderful. And then you have some who are believers, but those who are believers are at a different spiritual growth process than maybe you are, and you have to give grace and extend grace and allow the Lord to work in their lives to build, to plant the seed, cause the seed to grow and bear fruit. And that takes time and takes discernment from the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. And God can even give you the ability to love. You might say, well, I do better off without being around people. Well, you know, even our missionaries that were with us said, you know, they're the French folks that they ministered to and became friends with, involved with, they said they usually have, what, seven, no more than seven close relationships, something like that, three mm-hmm. to seven. So, you know, you think about that. How many close relationships do you have? But in that, you know, begin praying. I think that would be the first step. Pray, Lord, if you want me to establish a relationship with my neighbor, I may not know their name. Help me to find a way to find out their name mm-hmm. or just to say hi or wave and greet them. And, you know, and I think it does take time. And
And it takes some courage. Like you have to.
It does take courage.
You have to. Make an invitation. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to invite somebody to dinner. I'm going to make dinner anyway. I might as well make it for eight people instead of four people, you know? Like, but you have to risk, right? Relationship, especially starting, it involves risk. It sounds like a small thing, but like risk someone saying no, or, you know, risk someone coming to your house and whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
if you are
serious about forming intentional relationships, you have to risk something, probably.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what's helped us in the past, and I'm mindful of this, I don't like this, and is that when you face crisis, like down south, we faced hurricanes, you know, then another hurricane, like in 1 year. And one of the blessings of that was, as our street was flooded, we couldn't get in and out, but we got to meet our neighbors because everybody needed each other to help each other. And my next door neighbor, I didn't know him at all because we had just moved in, but somehow they knew that I liked coffee. And so my neighbor, Henry, jumped in his Jeep and went through the flood water, found some Dunkin' Donut. This was right after the hurricane happened, and bought coffee and brought me a cup of coffee. And, you know, I wasn't his best friend, I mean, but I was his neighbor. And he just did that out of the kindness of his heart. And they were a Catholic background, but man, he just did that. And I thought that was great. But so sometimes crisis can do that. Like I know you had a flat tire almost or whatever, and you had to go to a neighbor or a neighbor came to
you. Yeah, well, he came to me, which was great, you know, but he really liked that. He was like, man, it's so cool that I could be of use. I could be helpful, you know? And so
that was
good. People want to be helpful.
What a great introduction.
And
you know?
Yeah. And which like, I know my neighbors, but we brought them cookies for Christmas or we did whatever, you know, but we haven't like had them into our house, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think
that's a big step.
Well, but like, why not do it? You know, like
right.
there's a lot of, most of the reasons of why not to do it are kind of superficial. Like, oh, what if it's not clean? Or, oh, what if, you know, it takes this extra effort.
Or
know?
Sometimes we say, well, they're too busy or I'm too busy.
Sure. I'm too tired after work. You do have, that's what I'm saying. It costs something.
Yes.
You know, in the crisis, maybe that cost part is removed because everybody's sort of in a different headspace. You know, the food's going bad in the fridge anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
And I can't turn on the TV. I might as well go knock on the door, but.
Right.
I think
that's right.
We get into routines of like what our evenings look like. And I don't know. I think there's something valuable to mixing that up, but there's a cost. And I really do think that's probably one of the biggest barriers is like pushing through that whatever the cost is, you know? And so I like, okay, if there was a board gaming club,
yes,
would I join it?
Yeah.
Right now I'd be like, well, yeah, absolutely. I would join it. And then they would say, okay, well, we're meeting Saturday.
Yeah.
11 to 4. And then I'd be like, oh, well,
I can't
Saturday,
that.
That's when I clean the house. Or that's when I do that. You know what I mean?
Right. I do.
You have to, there's a cost to change.
Yeah, you've got to allow that space to be grafted into your schedule.
Right. And what I'm saying is if you really want to be serious about the ministry of presence, if you want to be serious about, I'm full of the Holy Spirit and I just want to go to a place so that the Holy Spirit can rub off on people, you have to go to the place. Or you have to let them in.
You have to
like,
do it.
You can, you can be full of the Holy Spirit all day and alone, and then you're not practicing the ministry of presence.
Presence.
You know?
Yeah, you have his presence that he's with you, but he wants you, you know, to share his presence with others.
Yeah.
And so
it's less about learning some evangelistic tool. You know, I'm not a big fan of a lot of those rote memorization, here's the scriptures, or here's what I say, here's the story of the, because all of that can feel, even though it can very much be true, it can feel very
genuine.
False. It could feel like put on or static, whereas a relationship is organic and different.
Yeah.
So previously a barrier to evangelism was, well, I'm not evangelist. I can't learn all that stuff. What if I don't have the answers to the question? I don't think any of that matters. I think what I'm saying is, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, just go be around people.
Right. Absolutely.
So now the barrier isn't wisdom or some sort of tool. The barrier is, am I willing to give up my time?
Yeah.
My alone time to make it like social time.
Right.
You know?
And then there's that confidence of your relationship with the Lord that I liked what they brought out, Ross and Ashley, about you are just being with them. You're rubbing off on them. I get to rub off on you.
Right.
Which is awesome. I mean, in many ways, the Holy Spirit in you becomes that, and I like the term fragrance of Christ, and you get to share his character, his love, his aroma, and it rubs off on them. And, you know, it just leaves them with that fragrance of Jesus. You know, it's like, wow, that's refreshing.
Yeah, for sure. Ephesians 1:15-23. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. As I'm reading that, I'm noticing, you know, love for God's people and being filled, like that we are his body, made full and complete by Christ, because he's filling all things everywhere with himself. And I'm applying that to what we're talking about, this ministry of presence. I mean, I think there's, you know, this concrete spiritual idea of God loving us, and that enables us to love others.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's not just theoretical. There's this concrete filling, indwelling of Christ filling up the church and wanting to fill up everything with himself. Well, how does he do that? You know, but through the church, through the believers.
Yeah. When you were reading it, I was thinking of, you know, Paul enters in that and he begins with being thankful for the believers. Even you can read about his experience with Ephesians and what he had to go through there, but he spent most of the time with those brothers and sisters in the Lord. But he was thankful and grateful. And then he said, man, this is what I'm praying for you. And then he goes into that prayer request for them, that they would experience the wisdom of Christ and experience going deeper with Jesus and to be, like you said, filled up, you know, with the presence of Christ. Oh man, you know, that gets my juices going. If we can get filled up with the presence of Christ so much that we're just bubbling over like a fountain, you just can't stop it. And I'm just spilling out the love of Jesus on others. And it can be in a calm way, it can be in an exciting way, but it's being grateful and with gratitude, thankful for others. You know, when's the last time you said, Lord Jesus, I thank you for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, I thank you for their friendship. I thank you for their example of loving you. I thank you for their witness of being faithful. I thank you for their encouraging words. You know, I thank you for their prayers for me. I mean, that avenue of thankfulness. And I think that opens up maybe our attitude and demeanor and actions to maybe even have a courageous, bold step to enter into the ministry of presence. Well, since I'm so thankful for them, I can engage with them around the table. You know, that might be a good thing to start. So probably I would say the first thing, start praying about it, you know, and then see how the Lord leads you building that relationship. Mm. It's so good.
Be thankful for others.
Be thankful for others.
And
I think that's so encouraging. And we need to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We also need to give thanks for others as well.
Mm. Yeah. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called.
Yeah.
Like how you see yourself changes when your heart is flooded with light, when you are enlightened to know, like, that he's chosen you, right? That he's called you and called you his own child. When you recognize this new identity that you've been given, that's another facet of how, you know, we're enabled to minister to others through this deeper understanding of who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
So he prays for them to know the confident hope of their calling and the riches of their inheritance. And I think it's N.T. Wright in his Visions of Ephesians, he's talking about the inheritance, both as this idea of, you know, the new heavens and the new earth, but he talks about the inheritance as the presence of God, right? That, like, the climax in the Exodus story is the tabernacle. It's when God fills up the space. It's this God who was in a bush or here or there, like he comes and dwells within this space, you know, that's for them. And therefore, they are his representative people, right? They're the people who represent Yahweh to the surrounding community because God's presence is with them. They're the people who carry the presence of God. And Paul is then taking that idea and applying it to the Holy Spirit in us. You know, even earlier in chapter 1, I think he says that. He's like, the Spirit is God's guarantee. This is 14.
Yeah.
The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. And that he has purchased us to be his own people. You can see that Exodus language and that and that Hebrew Bible language of God having chosen this people, like we belong to him, right?
Yep.
And so the glorious inheritance is God's presence. And the Holy Spirit is like the seal or the stamp that he's going to give us the fullness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can think of that like as this thing that happens far into the future, which is okay, but I think less practical than thinking of it as like His Holy Spirit filling up the tabernacle, His Holy Spirit filling us up so that we can go and bear His image to the world.
Mm.
That's concrete what we're talking about when we say the ministry of presence.
Yes.
Right? Is I'm carrying the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I have to carry it somewhere where other people are.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I've often said two things. I got two thoughts. One is, you know, light, if we are ambassadors for Christ, you know, we are light bearers. Jesus is light of the world. He dwells within us. We're shining for Him. Light always attracts bugs. So you're going to get bugs coming into your world if you're attracting, if you're being like Jesus, it's just going to happen. You know, and the other thing is, I think about the Father's heart, compassion. I don't worry for me, and this is just because of our relationship. I believe that Holy Spirit sealing us is a confirmation, you know, and we say the promises all the time because we are in a place where we need to know the presence of the Lord. Oh, I know that the Lord is with me always. He will never leave me nor forsake me. But it's that confident assurance that my Father, Abba Father, Daddy, loves me and is for me, not against me. So wherever I go, His presence is with me. I represent Him, absolutely. But I have the assurance of God's presence. You know, Moses, when he was on that mountain, it's so fascinating. He said, God said, I'm not going to go with you guys. I'll send my angel ahead of you. You're going to go. And Moses said, man, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going to go. I don't want to go. Because why? He didn't want to leave God's presence. And that's the treasure that N.T. Wright's talking about. That's that inheritance. And that is really, you know, when we experience the presence of God, there's nothing better, nothing greater. And if we can share that in community with others and not be afraid or ashamed of the gospel, but just allow the Holy Spirit to just flow in us, through us, spill out on others. And it's not a hocus pocus way. It's just Christ in you, the hope of glory way. But people will know. And the Lord will begin to work. And even as some of our seasoned saints fell in love with that word this past week in their senior meeting, wooing us to heaven was part of the hymn language, you know, that God is wooing us, you know, pursuing us with His love.
Yeah.
And He will do that. His word will not return empty.
It's easier to have an impact than you probably think.
That's right. And we just leave it to God. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And the Holy Spirit can do it. I've seen the Holy Spirit do that and bring people to Himself in amazing ways. And I was involved in the sense that I was spending time in community, but I wasn't witnessing. There wasn't a plan. It was just the Holy Spirit drawing that individual to Himself. So it's great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the ZACPod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.